Okay, we're doing Mido today, Daf Lamed Hey. Daf Lamed Vav. We're starting at the bottom of Lamed Hey Amabet, at the beginning of the third parak. Mishnah Aleph. HaMizbeach haya 32 or 32. If you remember, we learned this a long time ago, the size of the Mizbeach. Okay, how do we get to 32 or 32? So the main thing is you start from the bottom, it measures 32 by 32. Ala ama v'kinei sama. Go up one and in one ama. Basically, that means, right, I'll read in a second, then I'll explain. Zeha yesod. The bottom ama is just the yesod. If you remember what it was used for, that was the part. First of all, it was only on certain sides. You can see from the map here, right? It's only on the north side, and it goes along the west side. Okay? That's the green part over there on the map that you see. And it jutted out a little bit. You see? It juts out a little bit onto the other sides, a little bit to the east. Right from the north, it goes a little bit to the east, and it juts out a little bit to the south on the other side. One ama extra, and that was for use of what? For pouring the extra blood into the mizbeach. If you see on the southern part there, there's two dots, two holes. Okay, those are representative of two holes where they were poured. Some of them went in the. Okay, I'll just tell you right now because we're going to get to this soon. But when you walk out of the heichal, where do you get to first? The one that's a little less, right? We're going to call that one the western one because it's on the west side and not pushing toward the south. And the other one is called the south one because it's a little more to the south. There's a debate about whether they look like on our map straight. According to some opinions, it curved in a little, like at a right angle. There was a little extra piece and they were on a diagonal from each other. Okay, a bit of a debate about how those looked. Again, the map only shows us one way. And the ones that you, the chataot that were done inside, remember there's the chataot apnimiot, since those were done, the blood was sprinkled in the heichal, so we go to the first one that we get to, which is the one, a little, they're going to call it the maravi one, not the one that juts out to the south. And the one that juts out to the south, if you notice, is closer to the ramp of the mizbeach. When you're coming down the ramp, you end up on the south side. So the one on the south is where you're going to put all the blood, the extra blood that comes from that the outer mizbeach. The regular korbanot. Okay, so it was 32 by 32. Ala ama v'kines ama, so you get up one ama, in one ama, you get the yesod. That's the height of one ama. Remember, the whole thing's going to be 10 amot high, so we'll count up as we get there. Nimsa shloshim al shloshim. At this point, since you went in an ama, from either end, you're going to have a base that's 30 ama by 30 ama, because each side you're going to lose one ama. Ala chamesh v'kines ama. Now you're going to go up another 5, so now we're at a height of 6 amot. And you go in another ama, so we're going to end up with 28 by 28. Zehas sovev, remember that's the part, okay, right, where you could walk around the mizbeach, that's why it's called the sovev. You could walk around at 6 amot of height, so it's
above,
one ama in.
That's already above
above the chuta sikra, which is one ama below there. Okay, you can see from this picture also, it's not the best picture of the mizbeach, but I kept it here because I want to show you something else that we're going to get to soon, but this is the sovev that goes around. There's the chuta sikra right below that, right? There's the sovev. And then, nimtza kavchet al kavchet. So at that point, you have 28 by 28. Now, then you get to the top of, you're basically at the top. And that's the size of the whole top of the mizbeach. Mekom hakranot, ama mizeh, v'ama mizeh. Each keren is one ama by one ama. So again, you're going to have, you're going to lose space, right? If we're going to go inside the kranot, we've lost space of one amah on all the ends. Nimtza kavav al kavav. Again, you're going to lose two amot altogether. Then you need makom hiluch raglei kohanim. In order to have, so we're going to have the fire in the middle, but around that, you need the kohanim to be able to walk around. So we're going to take away amah mizeh, v'amah mizeh. You need an amah's worth of space to walk around. Nimtza kafdalid al kafdalid makom hamaracha. Then the amount of space that you have for the fire in the middle is 24 by 24. Now, the fire didn't take up that whole space. Remember, there were other things. But they mean the whole area where avoda was done was now you're left with a space of 24 by 24. Amar Rabbi Yossi, mitchila lo haya ela kavchet al kavchet. In the first Beit HaMikdash, it wasn't 32 by 32. It was 28 by 28. We'll see in a minute where he gets that from. Kones ve'ole b'midazo ad shenimtza makom ha'maracha. Kaf al kaf. So if you do the same math, right, we got from 32 to 24, you lost 8 from all those, right, the yesod, then the sovev, then the kranot, and then the place for the kohanim to walk. We lost 4 on each side from each of those, so we lost 8. So the size of the Marachan by Rishon was 20 by 20. Ukishalu b'nei Gola had it get to become 32, because when the b'nei Gola came back, hosifu alav arba amot min hatzafon v'arba amot min hamarav kimin gamma, like the shape of a letter gamma, which is like a chaf sofit, okay, but it's more of a square shape, chaf sofit. They added a piece, right, a whole four amot on, what did we say, on the west side, and four amot on the northern side to add to the mizbeach. Okay, why did they do that? So apparently there was a whole thing about in the Bayit Rishon, they would pour the wine libations. There was this concept that mizbeach adamah ta'aseli, it has to be fully adamah underneath, there can't be any holes. So they didn't want to put a hole like a drain pipe in the mizbeach, so they had the drain going on the northwestern side, outside the area of the mizbeach. But in Bayit Sheni, they changed their view on this, and they realized that mizbeach I'm trying to remember if there was something motivated them to do it otherwise. They then reinterpreted the pasuk. Mizbeach adamah just means it has to be attached to the ground, but not that there can't be any holes in the ground. And then what they did was they built a drain pipe kind of thing where you pour the wine libations in the mizbeach in a hole and it went straight down, and then there's a debate what happened when it got there. Either there was marble floor and actually it didn't get absorbed into the ground under there, or it went all the way down to the Tahom and it was this empty, right? And then so basically when they built that area over, it was to cover the place where the wine libations would go and the water libations, and then basically that's why they added it on that side to cover that hole and that the whole thing would be absorbed into the mizbeach. The reason why they changed it in Bayit Sheni was because they decided that the drinking of the mizbeach, meaning collecting the libations, should be like the burning. And the burning happens on the mizbeach, so the swallowing of the liquid should also happen on the mizbeach. And therefore, they wanted the whole thing to be in the mizbeach, so they expanded the mizbeach to include that extra area so that it would all be absorbed. And then, like I said, they reinterpreted, oh, it just means it has to be attached to the ground. What they really wanted was that there wouldn't be tunnels underneath and things like that where people would walk underneath and use the space. But the fact that it would go and absorb the liquids, that really wasn't such a problem.
They had an earthquake problem. It was really, the idea of having people walking underneath was really dangerous.
Interesting.
I don't know if that was what was driving them. But
well, they did have people walking underneath. Remember, that's how the Kohanim got to the mikvah.
But not directly under the mizbeach.
But not directly under the mizbeach. Yeah. You're saying if there's something so heavy there, they didn't want.
Yeah.
Although there were buildings in the other areas.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But right. I would just think that it had
then maybe to had to do with concern of earthquake. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Know.
Mm-hmm. I think it really had to do with the way they interpret this mizbeach avanim taseli. They understood mizbeach avanim means has to be, you know, with nothing underneath it. Maybe also it's a way of respect. You know, if there's imagine if there's people walking underneath, it's not so respectful to the mizbeach, right? This is the mizbeach. This is the central part of the. You could see that there was a lot of. You know, this was all about the mizbeach. Okay, so now how do we know that the mizbeach was smaller? That it was only 28 amah by 28 amah in Bayit Rishon, and then you know, remember they expanded on it, it becomes 32 by 32 in Bayit Sheni. But how do we know that that's what it was? So they quote a pasuk for this, Shenemar, V'ha'aliel yudbet orech b'shtemesre rochav, ravua. Okay, so it says, and the Ariel, okay, there's a reference to the Mizbeach. It's a pasuk from Yechezkel. It's 12 by 12, right? Ravua, okay, it's square. Now, Yachol she'eno ela yudbet, could it really be 12 by 12? No one's talking about measurements like 12 by 12. Where do we get 12 by 12? Keshehu omer al arba'at reva'av, milamed shemina emtze hu moded yudbet amal l'chol ruach. What we mean by 12 is that if you break up the square of the mizbeach into four, the diagonal of each square, if it's four squares, the diagonal of each is 12. So 12, 12, 12, right? You're going to end up with 24 by 24. And therefore, so then 24, right, because 24 and 24, then you have the Sovev as an Amah, and then you have the Yesod as an Amah on either side, and that's how you're going to get to 28 altogether. Okay, so each time, right, each of those things adds another more. The base of the Mizbeach was 24 by 24. בחוץ של סיכה חוגרו באמצע, להבדיל בין הדמים העליונים לדמים התחתונים. That's, we've talked about this many times. There was that red line in the middle because certain things have to be, the blood has to be sprinkled on the top, the olat ha'of, and some have to be done at the bottom, like the chatat ha'of. And therefore, to distinguish between the bottom and the top, they put a red line, so it would be very obvious. By yisod hayam ha'alech, now the yisod, this we talked about in the very beginning, it went al p'nei kol ha'tzafon v'al p'nei kol ha'ma'arav. It went on the north side and on the west side, not on any other side of the mizbeach. This is the bottom part where they would pour the blood. Ve'ochel b'darom ha'ma'achat, u'b'mizrach ha'ma'achat, and it jutted out one ama to the south and one ama to the east.
It's a trip hazard.
What?
It's a trip hazard.
Trip hazard, yes, that's definitely true. Okay, Mishnah Ben. ובקרן מערבית דרומית היו שני נקבים כמין שני חותמים, like two nostrils דקים, two small nostrils. There were these two holes. Interesting, I don't know why these the imagery of the nostrils. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they, again, we kept talking about they keep using the senses. There was a lot of use of senses around, the smell and the seeing and the hearing. Maybe they want to just make a reference to the senses. Anyway, on, like we said, right by the edge, on the right on the western side, jutting out to the south, there were these two holes. Shadamim hanitanim al yisod maravi val yisod dromi yordim bahem. Right, the ones that have to go on the east, on the west, go in the first hole, and the ones that go on the south go on the second hole. Meaning, right, the ones what are called the first and the second. The first is just more connected to the yisod, and the other one's the one that juts out to the south. Umit arvim ba'ama v'yotzim lenachal kidron. Okay, and they. What's the amah? The amah here is not the measurement. The amah is the drain pipe. They get it, right? They kind of, all, what they're basically saying is, both holes went to the same place. And everything that went in kind of joined together and went out from there to Nachal Kidron. There was a drain system. Mishnah Gimel. Lemata baritzpa ba'oto akeren. Okay, you look at the map and you see it says tavla right near, if you're right near the yisod there in those two dots, those two circles, so there's a tavla, a little square. Okay, right? If you walk east, a little bit east from that part where it juts out on the southern side, there's a little square there. It's just like the tavla that we saw where they kept the keys underneath. Remember there was a, right, this is a system they obviously used. Put a tile in the floor, put a little ring on it, and you can pick it up as you need. What was this one for? So makom ayasham amal ama, it was one by one amot, just like, you know, one ama squared, like we saw with the other one. Vitavla shel shayish, it was made of marble. Vitabat haitak fuaba, it had a ring attached to it. Shebo yordin lashit uminakim oto. Okay, here, they had to clean out sometimes the drain. Okay, now, there's a debate which drain we're talking about. Is it the drain from the blood, because the blood sometimes can coagulate and it would get stuck in the pipe and therefore they had to clean it out. And that's the, I would say, the most likely interpretation because our whole topic is the blood that's coming from the yisod. Some people say, if you look at the map, there's these other two dots. You see that? On top of the mizbeach, there's two dots. Those are the two holes for the wine and the water libations. And some people say that that's what it's talking about, that they had to clean out stuff that was left over from there. Okay, it's a little strange if you'd say that because we already kind of, we weren't discussing that at all, right? So all of a sudden we're shifting topics, but maybe that's the interpretation. And then it would make sense if you say that the holes went all the way down to the tahom, that wouldn't make so much sense because what's to clean out? But if you hold that there was a floor of shayish there and that then all the stuff collected, and then it makes sense that you'd have to kind of clean it out.
Is it awfully small for anybody to get into?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are they going to get through a hole?
No, it was a hole to pick up and then get into the ground, under the ground. They would put their hands in, I guess, and get, you know, get through.
It's troublesome to have a drain without a clean out.
The opinion that it was shyish is a very strange thought, because then all the wine goes down and it kind of just collects there. It seems a little bit odd.
And also, where's the shipua here? Like, it's very weird to look like you have, there's a lot.
Right, here we have the architect talking.
Like, why are they having the, you know, how they did the, they probably just poured buckets of water down to wash it out.
Right, so here they're saying they went in and actually, you know, cleaned it out. In other words, again, if there was a lot of traffic, like anything, like a drain, right, the best way to clean a drain is just to have water continually going. If you don't use it very often, it's actually more likely it'll kind of get stuck. So it could be that if there was a lot of traffic, a lot of blood going, then things just kept going through. But if there wasn't a lot and it kind of dried up and coagulated, they had to clean it up. Okay, it's interesting to think about all, right, every little aspect was thought about. Or maybe not everything, but a lot. Bekevesh haya lidromo shel mizbeach. Now we're going to talk about the ramp. How big was the ramp? Lamid bet. It was 32 amot long. Al rachav tet zayin. Okay, it was 16 wide. Okay, so coming off the mizbeach, it was 16 amot wide, 32 amot all the way down to the floor. Urivu vahaita lo b'maravo. Okay, this is why I showed you. I took out this picture. There was a little window on the side. Now, there's a bit of a debate. So this one explains that the window is above the soveiv. That's the soveiv, that part that you walk around on at the height of 6 amot. There was this little window. Okay? What would they use the window for? Sheshama yunotnim psulei chatat ha'of. Now, there were different kind of psulim that could happen to the chatat ha'of. Some could be that the whole thing got disqualified for, you know, there was some problem with it, a serious problem. Then they would burn it right away. But there were other issues that would happen, like let's say the owner died before they sacrificed it, or something that wasn't such a huge psul, but it did disqualify it, but it wouldn't require burning right away. So what they would do is they would leave it in this cubby hole overnight. Once it was left overnight, it would become disqualified from lina, and then they'd be able to burn it. So it was like a semi-psul, which wouldn't allow you to burn it right away, so they would stick it in this thing. And why specifically there on that side? Because that's where they would do the chatat of on that side. So it was convenient to basically put it right there. It was, right, again, they did all sorts of things also for convenience sake. Like, just like we saw the cubbies, they're very smart about designing. They had the cubbies for the clay shear of the Levim, so that the Levim could have their instruments accessible when they went, you know, right near where they were going to sing from. Echad avnei hakevesh ve'echad avnei mizbeach. Now we're going to talk about where did they get the stones for. If you remember, there's an isur to use metal implements, right? Iron implements. We're going to see why. And so the question is, where did they get the stones for the mizbeach and for the ramp? Mibik'at beit hakerem. They would get it from this area. Again, this doesn't mean they have to, but that was practically what they did. Ve'chofrin lemata mibtula. That means they would dig into virgin land. And they would find, right, why virgin land? Because then the stones that they would find under there were whole. And they didn't have any implements that, you know, shalohi nifalehem barzel. Okay, that nobody used any iron implements on them. Shabarzel posel benigia. Now we're going to learn about what disqualifies the stones. If barzel touches it, iron touches it, just by touching, even if you don't hit it with an implement like that, it's pasul. Upgima bechol davar. Okay, but if it gets damaged, then we don't care. Let's say it was a wooden implement that damaged it. Then it also pasuls it. So if it's a wooden implement that touches it, that's okay. But if it's a wooden implement that damages it, then the stones are no good. Nifgima achat mehen. What if you have the mizbeach and one of the stones get pasul? He psula v'kulan k'sherot. Only that stone. It doesn't disqualify all the other stones. U'milabnim otam pa'amayim b'shana. Now they talk about upkeep of the mikdash. They would whitewash them with lime, plaster, twice a year. Chag v'pesach v'chag v'chag. Right? Not only do we do our fixing up right before the chag, right? They also fixed up the mizbeach. They would paint it, kind of thing, twice a year. V'haychal pam echat b'pesach. Okay, the one in the Heichal, they would do one time a year on Pesach. Sorry, what is it in the Heichal? I don't remember. I mean the walls of the Heichal. Okay, they would kind of clean the walls of the Heichal once a year only. I guess it needed less. You can imagine the Mizbeach was used a lot. Now we're going to find out, though. Think about it. They kind of really did this upkeep twice a year, but the Mizbeach must have been filthy. Right? In other words, blood everywhere. So now we're going to learn. Rabbi Omer, kol Erev Shabbat, melabnim otam b'mapam, b'pnei adamim. Okay, don't worry. Once a week, Erev Shabbat, right? Just like we do extra cleaning, Erev Shabbat, they would clean the Mizbeach Erev Shabbat with a cloth, likely a wet cloth. Okay, they would clean it. It doesn't seem like Rabbi disagrees with the other opinion. He's just saying there's big cleanup and small, you know, maintenance. Lo hayus sadino to bekapis shel barzel. Now, when they did the whitewash, they wouldn't do it with a trowel that was made of barzel. Shema yigavi yifsol, because maybe it will touch it. This is a little weird. What do you mean maybe it'll touch it? Obviously, it'll touch it, so that's a bit of a question. But maybe it's just a way of saying it, because it will become disqualified. Shabarzel nivra. Now, why is barzel a problem? Here we get it, and the nice idea of today. עכשיו, ברזל נברא לקצר ימיו של אדם. What is Barzel used for? Weapons. So it cuts short the days of people. V'amizbeach nivra la'arich yamav shel adam. And the Mizbeach's whole point is so people can get people can get atonement and live longer. So we know b'din, it's not logical she'anif ha'mekatzer al ha'ma'arich. Okay, that the thing that shortens life should be used on the thing that lengthens people's lives.
Yeah, there's a question here. They only show the Mizbeach being perfectly square, but they have these stones that you're not allowed to cut. You're not allowed.
Right, so how could they have ended up perfectly square?
How could it have possibly have held together without something? These weren't like... Yeah, I don't understand how that thing was built. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because these are not...
Well, first of all, the shape is a square, and it's true, the pictures were square, but it's not... I don't know if it... Nothing jutted out here and there. I'm sure it was...
Still, but it's exactly basically a pile of rocks. I mean,
right.
Are they allowed to put cement?
I mean, like, yeah, so I think they must have put cement to keep them together.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because they're loose rocks.
I assume
squares,
so.
They're not blocks.
Yeah,
like,
well, if they plastered them also every year, I assume that that also kind
but
of kept everything together.
The sides were plastered. It says just the top was plastered. Maybe it was.
You think only the... It says specifically the top in your translation? I didn't see where it said the top.
It does.
Uh-huh. So just the top of them is bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know enough about it. It's a good question.
How do you do this? You know,
I don't know how they could have even gotten that many.
Well,
stones.
How also can you find the stones that
without
are the perfect
using,
shape? It
without
seems.
Using tools, the proper
yeah.
tools to dig for.
Stones
right.
are essentially round until you
right.
make them square.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good question about how exactly they were able to find the exact size, shape, and put them together. It's a very good question. And I'm thinking of the walls in the Kotel, you know, those big stones in the Kotel, when you go to the Kotel tunnel. Right, those are carved. So, yeah.
Those are cut stones.
Right.
Unless they were stones from previous buildings, mm-hmm. in which case...
No, but it sounds like they want to take this from virgin land that
yeah.
it never
right.
came in contact
right.
with an implement. So it's hard to imagine. How they exactly were able to do this. Okay, moving on. Mishnah. Now we're moving to the taba'ot, those rings. The rings were made for the sacrificing, so they would put the animal underneath the ring. It was kind of hinged. So one side was in the ground, and one side would open up so they could put the animal in. Taba'ot hayu litzfono shel mizbeach. So we now move north, toward the northern side. If you remember, the mizbeach was either entirely or mostly in the southern side. Moving now to the north side. Shisha starim shel arba'a, v'yesh omrim arba'a shel shisha shisha. Okay, either four rows of six or six rows of four. I'm not exactly sure where they're counting the rows from, which way they mean, because you could, depending on where you are, maybe they mean from the mizbeach looking out, you see six rows of four versus four rows of six. Shalehem shochatim et hakodashim. Okay, they would slaughter the kodashim on those under those rings. Beit hamitbachayim hayalat vanoshom mizbeach. Then there was the next section called the Beit hamitbachayim. You can see also on the map. Ba'alav, we've talked about this in Tamid. Shmona amudim nanasim, eight very short pillars. Biriviim shel erez al gavehen, and these squares made of wood on top of them. Ba'ankaliot shel barzel ayukvuim bahem. There were these iron pegs that were in hammered into the wood. V'shlosha starim haya lechol echad ve'echad shebahem tolinu mafshitim al shulchanot shoshaya sheben amudim. Okay, so you have, let's just visualize it. You have the, it's actually a good picture here. Let's see if I can find it. You have these, okay. You have, it's that, oh, no, I know where I saw a good picture. There was a good picture here I wanted to show you in the Koran. You had these, here's the Amud, okay? This is the Kohen standing there with the animal upside down. You can see, okay, into the, right, so here's the pillar, there's the piece of wood, and there's these three rows of rings. It looks to me like, why would you have three rows of rings? It looks to me from the picture, it depends how big the animal is. And as you hang the legs of the animal from the rings, depending on how tall the animal is, the way they did the rows, that they go up higher. So it could be depending on how big the animal is. You know, the smaller animal, you would put lower down, and the bigger animal, you might put on the higher hooks. And maybe that's why there's three rows of rings, because otherwise it doesn't make so much sense, because all you need is one on each side to hold each of the legs. You don't really need three, but maybe it's because of the height of the animal. And then, if you remember, there were the shulchanot of shayish that were right next to them. If you see here, right, there's the square things, and then there's the shulchanot, which are white. What were those used for? That you would put the animal, right, you would kind of hang the animal from there and then put part of the body on, you know, you would use it also for taking off the hide. Mishnah Vav. Ha-kiyor. Okay, remember the kiyor? Ha-kiyor haya? Here's a they say this is called a modern reconstruction of the kiyor. Okay, the basin. It's not like a sink. It's more like a basin. Okay, you can look. Right, you can find all these online if you just search them. The kiyor was bein ha'ulam lemizbeach. If you remember, right, we were going in. We started with the Ezrat Yisrael, was 11 amo, right? Then the Ezrat Kohanim was 11. Then we move into the mizbeach, which was 32 by 32. Then we get to the area now, which was bein ulam lemizbeach. We're going to learn that from here to the ulam is 22 amo. We'll explain how, although there's different interpretations. But before we get to that, if you see the kiyor, if you take, right, you're between the ulam and the mizbeach, and you move toward the southern side, you see the kiyor right there. It's along the wall of the ulam, outside the wall of the ulam, on the side there. Umashuch klapei darom. That's how we know it's toward the south, because the Mishnah says it's moved toward the south. Bein ha'ulam lemizbeach kaf berama. Ve'yud bet ma'alot hayusham. There were 12 stairs. Rum ma'ala chatzi ama. The step was half an amah high, all these steps. Bishilcha amah, but instead of the flat part being half an amah like the other steps, we saw they're one amah. Biroved shlosha amah. Biroved shlosha, behel yona amah. Biroved arba. Okay, what does this mean? I specifically read it quickly without explaining. There's many different interpretations. I'll start either there were these three amot that they didn't discuss that you started off with, then started the stairs, and then you have one stair that gets you another three amot, and then three amot of space, or okay, there's all different interpretations. Some say it started right away with stairs. There was, and the way you're going to have these stairs is there are a few stairs and then a flat space. A few stairs, flat space, a few stairs, and a flat space. You can see that from the picture here. Okay, so the basic interpretation is it starts right away, and there's one step, two step, three. So, although I see here they don't do it that way. You see there's space between Ulam Lemizbeach and then the stairs start. But if you could say one step, two step, three steps, and then space, okay, and then one, two, three, and then space, and then one, two, three, and then space. Okay, so depending on how you do the math, whether you had some space before or it's all calculated and where you, how many, you know, whether you count that the fourth stair has an amma and then three, or does it mean that step includes the three? Okay, there's a lot of different ways of reading it. You can see a picture if you have the Schottenstein. They show 1, 1, 1, 1, and then three. Then 1, 1, 1, 1, and then three, and then 1, 1, 1, 1, and then four. Okay, and that gets you up to your total amount of 22, which means there was no space before that. But there's others who say otherwise. Okay, we're not going to get into every detail there, but there's different ways of reading it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'elyona Ama Ama Biroved Chamisha. He says instead of the last one being four flat amot, it's got five amot on the flat side, and then he's got to take away one amot from somewhere else because everyone agrees that it was 22. Mishnah Zayin. Pitcho Shel Ulam Govho. Okay, this is a mistake, right? It should be Kaf Ama Virochbo Arba'im Ama. I don't know why that's actually in parentheses. But if you remember, right, that was double the size of all the others. The petach of the ulam was much bigger. The chamesh miltraot shel mila hayu al gabav. Hatachtona odefet ala petach ama mizeh v'ama mizeh v'shalamala mimene odefet ala ama mizeh v'ama mizeh. Nimtzeh el yonah shloshim ama. Okay, what happens? In the entranceway, after the entrance, they then had these beams that would go across, and they were each one. Okay, the entrance was 20 amah, so each one jutted out one amah in either direction from the previous one. So the first one was jutted out more than the entrance. So there's this pillar going 22 amot. The next one, another 2 amah. The next one, and there were 5, so they got eventually to the last beam, was 30 amot long. This is probably just decorative. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, I missed that. V'nidbach shel avanim haya ben kol echad ve'echad. And in between each pillar or each beam, there was a row of stones. Okay, so you can also see a picture of this in the Schottenstein if you have it. Here, this is the picture of how it looked, almost like these beams on the ceiling with a row of stone in between. Okay, more decorations that there were in the ulam. It was a very decorated room, I guess, because it was the entranceway to the Heichal, to the Kodesh. Klunsaot shel Evan. Most people change it to Erez. Okay, these wooden, again, we have wooden beams going. Hayu kovim, but this is different. Hayu kovim mi kotlo shel hechal kotlo shel ulam. When you walk into the ulam, these we were talking about, when you walk in and you're facing the hechal, there were these beams coming out. Now we're talking about, if you look sideways now, you turn to your left and turn to your right, they put these beams in the wall because they were worried that the wall wouldn't hold up. So they wanted to keep the walls from, so they put these beams in between from the wall of the Heichal to the wall of the Ulam, basically. It just means in the ceiling area. Oh, why were they worried, by the way? Because the ceiling was so high. Remember, the ceiling was much higher than all the others. So because of that, they wanted to put it at a lower height, these beams, to keep the wall from falling. Sherry, you could tell me if there's any...
They're called tie bars.
Okay.
They're structural because you have so much...
so much height
from the stones, so you have to have tie bars because it's all leaning inward.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So now, Kadesha lo yivat. Okay, that's what they say. So the wall doesn't fall apart. Vishar shiraot shal zahava yukvu imba tikrot ha'ulam. Okay, this is a separate thing. There were these gold chains hanging down from the ceiling. Shebahem perche ki'una olim v'ro'im et ha'atarot. Okay, there were crowns, like any kind of palace, right? There's crowns. What was this? This was people donated to the Mikdash some crowns for decorative purposes. And where did they put them? In these little niches in the ulam. These were the atarot, and they needed to check up on them and clean them and that. So what did they do? Interesting, right, that you wouldn't imagine this. The Kohanim had these chains, and they would climb up on the chains. They had to be good, like, rock climbers type things, right? They had to climb up on the chains, right? Not exactly rock climbing, because they didn't have where to, right? They had to chain climbing, like that, like people do now,
the ropes,
right? Something like that. They had to climb up there. Obviously, the Perchei Kuna, the young Kohanim, could do that. And they would check the Atarot, Shene'emar, V'Atarot, Yiyeh Lechelem, U'Letuvya, U'Liyadai, U'Lechen, Ben Tzfanya, L'Zikaron, Be'echal Hashem, right? This is classic. Shul has these memorial plaques. That's what this was. These were memorial plaques for Chelem, Tuvia, Yedaya, Chem, Ben Tzfanya. People donated them, and their names were on them. Begefen shel zahav, we've seen this before. There was a vine made of gold. Haita umedet al pitcho shel eichal. By the way, you can find these pictures in the book. The book, you want to open it, you can see all these things in the eichal. Umudle al gabei klun saot, and they were draped over these beams. Kol mishehu min nadev ale o gargir o eshkol mevivito leba, and then people would just hang it. Right there, everyone would donate a grape or a whole cluster of grapes, depending on their means, and they would add and hang it on there. And here was the thing that we said was guzma, exaggeration. Amar Elazar Barabit Sadok Maaseh Hayav Nimnu Ala Shlosh Meot Kohanim Lifanota. They needed 300 Kohanim to move it. That's how much gold was brought to the Beit Hamikdash. Hadron Alach Hamizbeach, starting now with Perek Revi'i, the fourth Perek. Pitcho Shel Hechal. We're now, right? We keep, it's, you know, you can imagine there. You can almost feel the buildup, right? They start from the outside of Har HaBayit, and then you get in. We're now getting to the Pitcho Shel Hechal. Govho, like all the other ones, other than the Ulam, was Esrim Amah, height of 20 Amah, of the opening, Virochbo Eser. Okay, and the width of the opening was 10 Amot. Ba'arba Dlatot Hayulo. Okay, look at your map. You see those yellows, and there's a break in the middle of the yellows. You see there's two yellow lines. One, right, there's that Petach Echal. So there were two doors, and each door was made up of two sections. Now we're going to have a debate about how exactly the doors worked. How did they open? What type of doors were they? Okay. So, Shtayim Bifnim V'Shtayim Bachutz. Okay, one for the first entry and one for the second entry. Shene'emar Shtayim Zlatot Lehechal V'Lakodesh Achitzoni V'Lakodesh. Okay, it says... The pasuk reads like this: Ushtaim dlatot lehechal v'lakodesh. There were two dlatot for the hechal and the kodesh. And then the next pasuk says: Ushtaim dlatot ledlatot shtaim musabot dlatot shtaim ledelat achad ushtei dlatot laacheret. So there it says specifically in Yechezkel there were two doors for one and there were two doors for the other, and that's how they get that there were two sets of doors and two doors in each two sets of gates or openings and two doors in each one. Hachitzonot niftachot litoch hapetach. Lechasot of Yoshel Kotel. The outer ones, meaning the ones you get to from the Ulam, would open inward and would block the walls, the inner walls of the entrance area there. Okay, so there's a little cubicle of an entrance there. They would block when you would open them, right? Just like any door, right? There's a way how you open it, and there's a part that it always blocks when it's open. Hapnimiyot, the inner ones, niftechot letoch habayit. They open inward to the Heichal, lechasot achar hadlatot, and their purpose is to cover the walls on the inside of the Heichal that are behind the doors. Why do you need this? Shekol habayit tuch bezahav chutz me'achar hadlatot. Everything was gold except for that area. So when they opened the doors and people were working there, you wanted it to cover that area because it didn't look so pretty. You have to wonder why they didn't just make that also gold, but I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he had a different opinion. B'tocha petach hayu omdot, u'kimin itzdramita hayu, v'nikpalot la'achorehen, folding doors, pocket doors or folding doors, okay? Elu shneam opa mechza, ve'elu shneam opa mechza, chatzi ama'u mezuzah mikan, v'chatzi ama'u mezuzah mikan. Okay, what does this mean? They opened up and they folded, okay? You can see, it's a good picture here, okay? They make a V shape, right? Just like a folding door. So they fold up, and if you put them up against the side, each one was when they're folded and they're all up against the wall. So that means basically, according to him, they only covered the wall that was inside that little cubicle in between the two doors. And each one folded up, and each one was 2.5 amah. And then the whole space was 6 amah long. So 2.5, 2.5 is 5. You're left with 1 amah, a chatzi amah for the mezuzah on one side, and a chatzi amah for the mezuzah on the other, right? The mezuzah being the doorpost. So basically, you end up where the hinges are. So basically, you had 1 amah altogether of extra, 0.5 amah on either side. You can see that also from this picture, right? So they kind of folded up, and then there's a little space before and after, okay? That's what he says happened. That's what the doors look like. Okay. Then, where does he get this from? Because it says, Shneamar, shtayim dlatot ledelatot, shtayim musabot dlatot, shtayim ledelat achad ushtey dlatot laacheret. He says musabot, right? It sounds like they kind of folded up in, and that's how he gets it. Ushnei pishpishin hayu lo l'shar hagadol. Okay, this is what we discussed. This is the first time, if you remember, I explained it wrong, and then I fixed it, so in case you didn't hear the fixing, you'll hear it now. How we do this now? So now, near the Heichal, if you look on the map, there's two pishpishin on the side. Okay, there's two openings, not near those entrance areas, but to the sides of them. There's a debate how far off they were. This map has them kind of far away. Some people said they were right nearby. There were these two little openings. And the whole question is, how did they open the gate in the morning? Okay, so now we're going to learn Shnei Pishpishin Ayula L'Shar Echa B'Tzafon V'Echa B'Darom. Okay, one right on either side of the doors. Shebidarom Lo Nichnas Bo Adam Me'Olam. Remember, we learned this. No one ever used the southern entrance. V'Alav U'Mufurash Yedei Yecheskel. Yecheskel explains Shneamar V'Yomer Hashem Elai Hashar Hazeh Sagur Yehiyeh. It will be forever closed. Lo Yipatach. It will never be opened. V'Ish Lo Yavobo Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Babo. Okay, really amazing image, right? That's God's door to go through, okay? This exists, by the way, in other cultures, that there's doors that you can't go through, okay? In other places, it's interesting. I was in the Far East, and in the temples there, you can't go through the middle door. This is interesting that the side door is reserved for God. It's an interesting something to think about. It's the middle doors, and the people always enter through the side. Okay, here we're entering through the side, but also God is entering through the other side, and it's not... okay, so now we say v'hayasagur, okay, and it was closed. Natala tamafteach. Remember, he takes the mafteach. That's the one we saw yesterday that was in the tile and the floor that they kept in the Beit HaMoked. Upatach et hapishpesh, and he opens that little opening door, that little door. V'nichnas lahata. Now, according to here, the ta is right when you get in the gate there, right? That little side gate. There's ta'im there. You see that? There's a bit of a debate again. You can look if you have the shanshin. There's all different pictures about where exactly the ta was. Did you have to turn? Did you have to go straight? Did you just walk right into the ta? Was there some sort of detour you had to do to get there? Ume hata lehechal. So you're basically coming from the sides. You go in, right? You make a right into the ta. You make a left toward the hechal. And then where are you facing when you get in there? You're facing the inner door of the Heichal, right? So, according to this, patach et hapishpesh v'nichnas ata u'me'ata leHeichal. Okay, and then you would open the inner door, right? You would open that inner gate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'toch, he says, no, that's not how it worked. B'toch of Yoshel Kotel haya mahalech, he walked through the wall. There was some opening in the wall. You didn't go into a ta. You went in through that fishpesh. Now look, if you see on this map, there's all that dark, I don't know what color, gray you would call it. Okay, there's that gray space that's the wall. He says, it doesn't make any sense to him that you would go into the inner door. You would go actually, because you haven't really, according to that, you haven't really opened the outer door. So what he says is you go through, you'd walk into that side door from the northern side, and then you'd turn right in through the wall. You'd somehow walk through. There was this area within the wall where you would walk through. Until you'd end up right in the middle of that area where they call in the smack Petach HaEchal, where you have one door on your left and one door on your right. Right, and then you're basically standing the outer one you're going to open from the inside, and the inner one you're going to open from the outside, because you're now standing outside one and inside the other. So basically you're going to stand in the middle there and open each gate. Okay, that's it for today.